Dit is New Business Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NWP's Water Talks on New Business Radio. Today, we're talking about the Partner for Water program and the Room for the River project in Argentina. Studio guests are Jeanette Tapia, project manager at NWP's Dutch Resilience Hub, and Kees van der Lucht, regional manager Wereld Waternet. Kees, it's that time in the podcast. We're going to take a deep dive into the technical part of the project in Argentina. I want to know all the details. Let's start with the basics. Which rivers, for example, are involved in the project?
The river that's involved is the Rio Reconquista. Uh-huh. And that's a big river in Buenos Aires. Mm-hmm. We worked in a part of it, the Morin, and that's an element of the Rio Reconquista. Rio Reconquista is one of the two most polluted rivers in Argentina.
Wow. So, polluted with what, for example?
Well, with everything, micropollutants, chemicals.
You name it, you got it.
Nutrients, because, it's like, well, our River Rhine in the 60s.
Okay.
So industrial discharges, households are discharging untreated water. So everything... what you don't want to have into the water
was in there.
Comes in the water. Is in the water. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting because we were actually reviewing the actual document from the Room for the River document, which actually we will put in our website as well. We were really surprised to see that, you know, 5-6 decades ago, we were experiencing the very same problems here in the Netherlands with our river management. So it's very curious that you mentioned the Rhine River. And I think we will include it on the website as well so that folks can see, you know, where we began also.
Pictures, yeah. You know, from that situation, for
yes.
example. Yeah, and from the canals back in the 70s in Amsterdam.
Yes.
They were trashed, yeah. Okay, so the Rio Reconquista. The big river over there, very polluted. What details can you tell more about?
The other polluted one is the Rio Matanza, and that's also in Buenos Aires, and that's the other one most polluted. And what they did in Buenos Aires that they created specific organizations. To solve the problems, because mm-hmm. with the normal responsible organizations, they didn't make progress. And in the Rio Reconquista, there are also in parts of Buenos Aires and parts of other smaller cities that are living along the river,
mm-hmm.
But. Don't use the river at all. So
okay.
it's what you see is a lot of trash along the river. The river is polluted.
So you got, you got these two big polluted rivers. What would you say is the main challenge, the main problem you want to solve with the Room for the River project?
Well, it's on the level of... a new vision and a point at the horizon, and that's changing the river as indeed a sewerage, more or less, into a river that supports the economy, supports the livability mm-hmm. of the cities and the people who are living along the river.
Okay,
and that's also we're comparable with the Netherlands. If you also look into Amsterdam. 40 years ago, then the canals, you shouldn't swim into the canals.
No.
And now we are having a city swim every year.
Yeah.
So for the people, they swim in the river, they are paying more for living along the canals. And that was the idea also, and that is the idea also for the Rio Reconquista.
So there's a big economical drive behind the whole project.
Yes, economically and social.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeanette?
Yeah, Yeah, so I was a little curious. I know that there were a lot of sub-projects that were recommended under this master plan. And I was wondering, what are those projects? You mentioned a social aspect. What are those projects that are directed to these self-help communities that maybe are at risk? And how is the plan seeking to include or improve their quality of life?
Yes, one of the indeed the I think we end up with 8-9 concrete projects for improvement, mm-hmm. and one of them is focusing on the informal settlements. We've been there also and talking with the people. That's challenging because yes, they need to cooperate to if you want to do something. And we have had two possibilities, two scenarios that will be worked out, and that's one, yeah, to replace the informal settlements, and that means that socially, the people don't want to leave, while the circumstances are almost not livable. So it's about. Talking with them and finding out what they want. That's one side of the coin. The other one is, if you want to do that, you need another place, you need money. So it has to be financed one way or another. And that's also an issue that we put on the table, and in which we try to more or less that social and community side with the possibilities for funding, and then you have to think about, for example, the place where the current informal settlements are now. To we propose to make new houses there that are well situated along the river.
Yeah.
So that makes also the changes profitable for having this kind of measures. Yeah.
No, I understand, and definitely it's great that there is this discussion with these communities that have built this social capital and have a history in that area, and to really explore these scenarios together with them to see what are the outcomes, what is the vision for their future, also from their perspective. That's very valuable.
Yeah, that's right, and thinking about also to reduce the discharges from the households to the river, as well water solid waste. That's about technical solutions, but at least 50% is about awareness, and people who want to, they must cooperate. They must. Agree that it's important to have a clean and livable river. If they don't see that way, then they will not cooperate, and then you can then you can invest in sewerage, but it will not work.
And would you say that during your experience there, that working with the community, working with the stakeholders there, did you see that they, especially evaluating alternative scenarios and maybe like an improved state of life, did you receive a lot of response from them on their preference, that they wanted to explore and see these alternative scenarios, that they saw this as something positive, or they excited to see what could be possible?
Well, if you are talking specific about the people in the informal settlements, then yes, they are looking forward to changes, but on the other hand, they don't want to change, and that was also in the discussion. So that's hard. So I think what's important that it's not only they are important. They, of course, they are more or less for that part of the challenge. They are crucial, but it's also crucial that the other organizations that support it. For example, ISA for the sewerage, that's Seamse for the solid waste, that they have the same dream. So they can cooperate together. We did a scenario study in which we had some angles, and one of the angle was also the will to cooperate with the solution we propose. And yes, that's important. And then if they want to support the solution, and that's all the stakeholders, well, then you're flying. And if one or more is hesitating, then it's well, it's a dead end.
Now I see a little bit of the model of cooperation here, that you know there's always this consensus that is wanted to be agreed before you know you make big decisions. But I think, yeah, that's really interesting to hear.
We're going to take a quick break again. More Water Talks on New Business Radio coming up.
Van hippe start-up tot ijzersterke multinational. Iedereen praat mee op New Business Radio.